Welcome to The Way Podcast, found on FM 91.7 WHUS stores at the top of the hour. For more info, be sure to check out podcasttheway.com. I'm your host, Bill Trofesky. And today, we'll be talking about a rising genre in the art community, ugly art. Sounds kind of odd, I'd say, but we'll get into that. My guest today is Adam Plant, an artist out in Australia, and he's the founder of Easy Sleaze Production Company. And more info can be found at his website, Lonely Aroma. Now, Adam, please introduce yourself and tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone and people. My name is Adam Plant. I am an artist, and I make terribly ugly art on purpose. It's very lovely to be here, by the way. Thank you for having me. So my whole outlook on making artwork is to be as depraved and gruesome or obscene as possible, sometimes offensive, sometimes just a crude fart joke, sometimes it's political, sometimes it's satirical, but it's always very ugly. I'm very against kind of censorship and things like that, you know, all that stuff that kind of puts a chain around your neck. And I don't believe in it. So I've kind of go out of my way to do something that is a little bit weird, a little bit, silly sometimes, but an attempt to make something so entertaining that shouldn't be entertaining. And I don't think art is usually entertaining. I find that a lot of artists try to become a motive, if you know what I mean. And I don't take that.
I get that. And I don't mean to disrespect you, but your ugly art is very good. It's I have some pictures that I'm looking up, and so it's well crafted. Like, it's artwork that I definitely can't come close to doing. It's artwork that definitely, do you know the term morbid curiosity or morbid?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's very well put together. It's very clean, but it also has like a morbid kind of hint to it. Like, well, I forgot some of the names, but what were the names of some of these pictures?
Which pictures are we looking at?
I'm looking at the red woman, and half of her face is sort of, it goes into a montage, kind of like a Picasso, I'd say. Oh.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is I usually just whip out the names so quickly without thinking, and most of the time they're gibberish or they're an inside joke. So, and there's so many of them that it's hard to keep track of my shenanigans.
All right.
But thank you very much. You know, I think that my outlook on creating ugly art, and I like creating purposely bad art, even though some people disagree that it's not bad, but you know, it's a kind of experimentation of how far can I push the limits of what I'm doing. And if I'm making a film and I make it in, you know, 4K, you know, 4K resolution, it's high definition, it's a really, really crisp and spiffy. And then just process the film through like a VHS player, you know, and I think the experimentation is what makes it ugly, makes it bad, even though it might not necessarily be, you know, terrible artwork, it still comes across as being a bit weird and a bit off-putting.
Okay. Now, before I ask more about the community and things along that genre, at Easy Sleaze, you have about 25 other or more visual artists and other media artists that sort of are under your wing, correct?
Yes, yeah.
And they all specialize in the same ugly art genre?
Well, I wanted to create Easy Sleaze. The original idea behind creating this company was to create a place for both easy and sleazy artists. So with that in mind, it became a bit of a variety of different artists. My personal taste is for experimental art, but there are some people who do some more traditionalist work, which I'm not completely against, and I think that the community can definitely benefit from a few people who can do that kind of nicer work. But with that in mind, I do specialize within that field, so I look for that kind of thing.
And that leads me into my next question. So you like to go against the grain. And what is traditionalism?
Well, it's something that I'm not a big fan of, definitely, but it's anything that tries to capture the old, in my opinion. You know, it kind of screams to me that they've seen something somewhere and they say, well, I want to do that too, which is fine. Everybody does that. However, a lot of the time I find traditionalism lacks the kind of grit or the entertainment value that I like to see in art. So, you know, if somebody draws an absolutely beautiful picture of their cat or their feet, and you say, wow, that's a really nice photo of your feet, but what's the deal? There's no speech bubbles. There's no, you know, it's not dripping in any kind of attitude. That's what I see as traditionalism.
So even if it's very well put together, very well crafted, you want to come with a message.
I want to come with a message, and I also want to see something that thinks outside the box, in my opinion, and tries to be a little bit avant-garde. You know, I think that's what drives a lot of work that can be consumed over and over again. You know, if you see a really beautiful pencil sketch of a cat and you say, oh, that is just one hell of a cat, you know, you can only look at that so many times, or you might hang it on your wall and forget that it's there. But I like to see comic book artwork. I like to see really bizarre artwork that, let's say, I don't know if you know about Piss Jesus, if you ever heard about that.
I don't, but please tell.
Oh, I can't remember I can't remember the guy's name, whoever made it. But he made some sort of statue of Jesus and then filled it with his own urine. And that kind of thing is not necessarily something you'd put on your wall or have in your house.
Oh, people must have hated that.
Oh, absolutely. You should have seen the flack that he got. It was bad. But you know, it's that kind of thing that is not traditional, but you can look at it and you can just absolutely analyze it from every side. You can say, wow, this is, you know, I can read into this. I can keep looking at it, even though it's absolutely, absolutely disgusting. And I think that trumps a portrait of a cat that can be hung on a wall and then forgotten, chucked in a bin one day.
I'm going to tell a little story. So I was at a party, end of my year of high school. And at the party, there was a nice finished basement, and I met the homeowner there, and he showed me, basically he was getting into the art community. I hope he's doing well. This was like 5 years ago, but maybe you know the name, but he would draw different styles of artwork that was kind of complex, but the idea behind it was it never had any clear image to it. But every person was supposed to see it and interpret it differently. Like one person would, this is real simple, but one person would see a car, but another person would see a cat or a house, something like that. Do you know about that kind of art genre?
No, but I can definitely imagine it. I think that's a really nifty way to create something without actually, you know, specifying what you're doing. I think that's a leave it up to the consumer to make up his mind. I think that's nice.
Yeah, I remember it's just a bunch of black lines and maybe a few colors. And I remember I saw a yard and I forgot what he saw, or like a sunset.
Did he ever tell you, like, did he ever give some insight about like what he thought it was?
Oh, yeah, he told me what he thought it was, but he said, again, like he didn't draw what he thought it was. The point of it was that he didn't even know what it was supposed to be. Like, it's the best way I can put it.
That's neat.
I know, I like that. Hopefully that becomes something too.
Oh, absolutely.
And you said before something like you want people to see, it wants to be very expressionalist, kind of, you want art to have all this stuff to it. And one of the new genres, not even just in the art community, and like technology and like everything in general, is minimalism. And I see that gaining traction. And what's your thoughts on that? Can there be something found in, sorry to interrupt, but can there be something found in like just seeing a simple blue square or red circle that just massages your eyes?
I like that. I like that terminology. Well, I can see the benefit of all arts. I definitely can see the benefit in all kinds of arts. You know, again, going back to traditional kind of work, I can see the benefit of it. I can see the benefit in a, you know, a beautiful photograph of a flower. When it comes to minimalism, I wouldn't necessarily do it because I find it, again, fairly boring. This is just a personal stance. I think, well, if you're going to create something, really go all out, make it chaos, make it like a flaming garbage bin. But with that in mind, if somebody's, you know, outlook is to buy a blue square and frame it, then go for it. I think that's that's what they need to do. It makes them happy.
Not only that, but you must have heard of two things. One, there was a white painting, just a clear, clean white painting, like nothing. It was, I don't even know what they painted. It's just white. And it sold for 15 million some years ago. And then there was that banana duct taped to the wall that, what did that sell for?
Yeah, I know about the banana.
You know about that one? Yeah. I put it up in my room, right. And I was like, I just got a banana, put some duct tape up, took a picture. I'm like,
yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, that is such a dangerous artwork. Whoever that person was who just decided to make that artwork scares me. There's something really warped about their brain. You know, I fear that kind of thing. And also the fact that you can take it two ways. You can say, well, this is a brilliant piece of political artwork. It means this. But that would suggest that he was very self-aware, that he knew what he was doing, that there was like he was breaking the fourth wall of art. Then the other side of it is to say that he's completely unself-aware and it was like a last minute excuse to, you know, get artwork into a gallery. He's like, well, I did nothing and the deadline's tomorrow. I better like whip a banana up and stick it to a wall.
Yeah. I mean, they must have seen it as that fourth wall breaker, like middle finger, like, hey, I can make this as a big middle finger to the art community.
Well, I hope so. I hope that was his dream, but who knows with these people.
I know. Even if you bought it, the banana expires after like 2 weeks, then you have to replace it. And in they had a manual, and I forgot about this. Yeah, in the manual, it said whenever it would turn a dark brown and like fall apart, simply lift up the tape, put a new banana there, and then put it back down to maintain it.
Oh boy. Again, this is a very obscure thing and kind of dangerous, but I like the idea, but I also hate it. I don't know. I'm on the fence on this one.
I feel that. And so something like that, if my friend, say, who painted a month or two ago did that, nobody would buy it, nobody would care for it, I feel like. But if somebody's a big name and they do that, they sell for millions. So how much in the art community is it just who you know? Because I feel like if somebody can have amazing artwork, but they don't know the right people, like they're not a name, so it just loses that meaning, gets thrown in the trash.
Well, this plays out for so many things. I mean, you look at the artwork by Jim Carrey. I don't know if you know the actor Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And I apologize to Jim Carrey if he's listening. You're not going to like this, Jim. But, you know, I don't think he's a very good artist. Again, my apologies to Jim. But I don't like his artwork. I think that they're just a bunch of colors on board. And now it became very easy for him to transition into artwork because he's a wealthy actor. You know, he's done acting. He mastered the, you know, comedy routine. So for him to just go straight into art, he has a name for himself. People know his face. People know his name. People know the way that he smells. And, you know, there he is. So with that in mind, it definitely goes a long way if you have some sort of established credibility. And with this banana guy, I don't know his name, so we're going to refer to him as banana guy. The banana guy, he seems to have had already done a lot of stuff in his lifetime. You know, he had done the gold toilet. I don't know if you heard about that one.
I did hear about that, actually.
Yeah, solid gold toilet. So he had done stuff in his lifetime. So a banana on the wall, you know, if I tried doing that, they'd chuck me out, you know.
You couldn't say it's ugly art.
Oh, you could try to propagate it as anything you like, but unless you're worth a good piece of money across your name, you know, they're not going to take it. So he was lucky enough or you know, in that right position to be able to create something like that and have the respect that a lot of young artists wouldn't have that opportunity.
All right. So I'm going to bring it back to your forte, ugly art. Now, again, so when I think of art, I think of something I want to look at, something appealing to the eye, something I'd say that's beautiful, something that I say is even magnificent, something that I want to look, put on the wall and just stare at. I have a few posters, not art, but posters that I like to look at. So when you make ugly art, something that's sort of distraught or something like that, why would I want to buy it to look at it?
Well, I think that's the perk of ugly art. It's you know, I've always said that this is entertainment over art, just like the music I create. This is entertainment, not music. So with that in mind, you know, have you ever watched a movie and you've been like, wow, that was a fantastic movie. I thoroughly enjoyed that movie. I will never watch it again. You know, it is just too violent. It is just too gross, something like that. So with that in mind, the artwork that I like creating is just, you know, you can look at it. You can really get into it. You can analyze it. But then, you know, put it in your basement. Don't ever look at it again. Never show your grandmother it.
Okay. So it's something like that really catches your attention, something that's great to look at, but you don't want to show it everywhere. I see that.
It's a niche as well. You know, I'm sure there are people out there that, you know, it's like I'm marketing a horror movie to somebody who enjoys rom-coms. You know, it's there are people out there who enjoy savage artwork. It's not for everybody, but you know, those people can go towards their rom-com.
And that's actually something, I don't know if I said this yet, but you know the term morbid curiosity?
Yeah.
So there's this YouTuber, or he stopped, but his name was Feesauce. And he would, have you heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Oh, well, he's great. He would do basically some random topic like, why are things creepy? How many things are there? Like, just questions like that. Why are bad words bad? Misnomer, stuff like that. And then he'd go into good detail. One of the things was morbid curiosity. And it's just about, why do we like drama? Why do we like gore? Why do we like disturbing, unpleasant things that we like can't look away from? And the idea, or what it came down to, was the brain rewards curiosity. Even if you don't want to look at something like a horror movie, like you're afraid to look away, your brain gives you dopamine. If you're able to look at it, it makes you feel stronger because you're able to tolerate it. And it's just important to be curious to stay alive. It's how humans pretty much evolve. So
I also think that there might be something to do with, again, I'm no brain scientist, so
don't take... Neither am I, go ahead.
So, no, I think that, you know, it's kind of like the media. The media won't publish, you know, this man went to the toilet today. They're going to publish the extreme version, which is this man went to the toilet and he found $1 million under the seat. You know, it's the extremes. People love to see the extreme of everything, whether or not it's horribly good or horribly bad. So with that in mind, I think that kind of curiosity, and as far as like seeing the bad side of the world, you know, the really gross and violent side, I think people are so used to normal routine living that when they see something that is so explosive that, you know, it takes them in, they're like, wow, this is totally different to what my life is, so I better like look at this. I mean, we should probably ask a serial killer, like, do you like watching this kind of stuff? Does it give you anything? You know, I'd like to hear that.
That would be interesting. Also, one of the things they mention in the video is there's a whole website towards buying artwork and like journals from past serial killers. Like, people actually like go out to buy like $150 artwork from the Unabomber or like someone like that. Not even like him, like just some like lower name, like guy who killed 5 people in California or something.
Yeah, see, that's interesting. That's like fascination. That is like, I don't know, some people idolize murderers and stuff, and they give them, like, I'm part of the thing where I am interested in, you know, serial killers. I'm interested in that kind of thing. I'm part of that mass mentality. Yeah, it interests me. I watch a documentary. I watch sitcoms, not sitcoms, like, you know, Netflix shows that focus on this kind of thing. But I think there's another side to it where people are actually fascinated or have such a deep appreciation for a serial killer's character that they, you know, they go out of their way to own a knife or a pair of pants or underwear from the serial killer. I think it's a little bit weird.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit much to me.
I don't know. You wouldn't want that in your house. There'd be some sort of bad juju around it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would give me like a bad energy, some bad vibe.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, yeah, everybody has their interests and stuff. And I get like, okay, but just the knife or even what if it becomes like looking up to them? Well, actually earlier you said media, like the media likes to, I just wanted to bring this out too. I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but in America, the media likes to bring a lot of bad news to our attention because of that same sort of morbid curiosity. Like, five people shot here, or like this bad thing happened in the news, this bad political, because it catches our attention. It makes us think, oh, we have to watch because we need to stay informed. We need to stay updated. Even though while there is bad stuff going on in the world, obviously like fires and stuff like that, or the earth and stuff like that, there's also good stuff going on too that, again, people just don't want to hear because it doesn't catch the eye as much.
Absolutely. It's boring, you know? That won't sell, you know, their product. You need something that is like just crazed, just absolutely all over the place. So in that sense, I do agree with that. Australia has... it depends on what you're watching, though. I go on to... Our version of Apple News, which is mainly Australian based, and that is very much an extremist reaction, and there's a lot of clickbait and there's a lot of just garbage, but yeah, very little of it is founded in reality. Very little of it uses any kind of rational thinking. Most of it is just one extreme or an opinion piece which is propagated as fact. And as for what we get in Australia regarding the US news, we get a lot of regurgitated information, which doesn't have a lot of reason. You know, it's just, again, opinion pieces. You know, we get a lot. I mean, depending on everybody's opinion on Donald Trump, regardless of that, we only get bad information. You know, that's just all we get from the American politics side, is that we only hear the worst of the worst regarding Trump, which I don't know what it's like in America. Do you guys have news that says that he's a good guy? Do you have news that say he's a bad guy?
I'd say it's mostly bad stuff.
Okay. Well, plays out over here.
Yeah, I won't throw my political opinion. So
we'll move away from that.
Yeah. So what about ask? Bring it back. You mentioned that there's some censorship within the art community, and I'm assuming there must be some for ugly art. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I think the censorship stems from everybody wanting the same thing. And I've always disagreed that with the, I don't know, the fat cats who own the art galleries, and they say, well, we want this really, really neat piece of statue, or we want this really lovely photograph, and that's all we're taking. We're just taking really standard, you know, stuff like that. And they disregard the fact that there's so many comic books out there, or comic book art, which is absolutely gorgeous, but it doesn't come under what they want to see. You know, it doesn't fit their criteria. And because of that, they just completely reject it. So I find it terribly, again, boring to go into an art gallery, and it's like walking into a hospital. You know, these white floors and everything so sanitary, and there's nothing that might trigger you, and there's, you know, really, it's a very boring atmosphere. So with that in mind, the censorship that bad art has on it, or ugly art has on it, is that it might be too radical for, you know, whoever's owning this art gallery. It just doesn't compute with them. They don't want to see ugliness. They want to see a nice illustration of a cat. Going back to the cat expression.
How much is it? Some of your art has like swears in it, and I could see like they don't want the swears out. So how much is it something like that, or or how much of it is just pure they don't like the expression behind it?
Well, they don't like a lot of my art comes under comic book, or at least graphic novel kind of stuff. As well as that, there is swearing, which we can't say because radio, we talked about this. But there is swearing and there's a lot of things like that. There's also a lot of violence. And now I guess you can kind of justify violence and swearing, but you know, it's not family friendly. And I think a lot of people don't like or believe that profanity and obscene imagery is bad unless it's certified as trendy. So, and that's coming down to the fact that people need to stop being victims of any regulation or mass mentality and make their own stance on what their own morals are, using, you know, rational thinking. And I just can't understand why somebody would say that, oh, you can't say this word because it means this, but you can say that word if you're being political. And it's you know, there's a big mess there.
A lot of gray area.
No, absolutely. It's all gray, actually.
And in the art community, are there any sort of underground areas or any areas where stuff like that's allowed to go nuts, sort of?
Well, I mean, you can try to publish your stuff in a cheap record store. They might take your stuff, you know. It depends. You can't, I mean, the actual art galleries, which is meant to be the place, you know, if you want to become an artist, get in an art gallery. It doesn't work for all artists. I would recommend anybody who's doing underground or gritty work, they should try branching out into a more punk atmosphere, somewhere that can appreciate a bit more savagery. You know, again, record stores, if you can swing a record store to hang your artworks, I think that is worth more than getting put into an art gallery. It might not be as prestigious, but I think that it's more accepting. And definitely, because going back to censorship, a lot of censorship is being forwarded by social media and the regulations on social media. So I don't know if you know much about Instagram. I'm gonna attack Instagram now. But
I'm found there at podcasttheway.com, listeners.
But you know, Instagram has this lovely way of making sure that nothing stands out as obscure, obscene, nothing. So you can't post even traditional art gets sabotaged by the algorithm, whatever they want to call it. You know, a friend of mine drew a beautiful illustration of a nude woman. Okay, so it was a very traditional sketch, very lifelike. She posted that to Instagram and they actually blocked it because it was nudity, which I don't know, that reminds me of like my high school art class being like, you can't draw nudes, you know. So it's that same kind of mentality. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Two things. One, I mean, this is elementary school, but I remember I got detention for like a week because I drew robots swinging from ropes and like shooting guns at each other.
Oh, that was obscene, huh? That was too much for them to comprehend.
I guess so. I was all confused. I was like, what? But I don't know. One of many times. And what else was I going to say? So, you know, do you know who Eric Andre is?
Oh, yes, I do.
He, I mean, he legit just posts nude pictures of himself on Instagram. So why doesn't that get taken down?
Yeah, I've actually wondered the same thing. I'm glad he does it, though, because, I mean, his character needs to be forwarded by things like that. So, I'm all for his type of sleaze.
Yeah, $1 million idea. I can't do it, but if somebody wants to make a podcast where they just go crazy like him, it's open.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, but that kind of social experiment, like this is a little bit off the topic, but I think those kind of social experiments are so so captivating because, you know, like myself, I wouldn't go down the street and do the kind of stuff that he does, you know. So for me, I can kind of live through the screen, you know what I mean? You can watch the screen and just look, you know, be astounded by how people react. So good on him, you know, all for it.
He's kind of uglier in a sense, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, his show is...
He's the ugliest.
Yeah, his show is something. You ever hear of... I don't know if it's called Green Room or The Room, but it's that movie that's supposed to be like the worst movie of all time. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I absolutely do. Yep, The Room.
You a fan of that one?
Is that I would say I'm a fan... Oh, that is, see, there's this weird place for me because I like the film. I like films that are so bad that they're good. And I think that purposely captures that. They're so bad that they're good. And for me, I feel like what I do is an experimentation of bad art. You know, it's like, if you're going back to using film as an example, I like to use VHS cameras and transfer all the footage through VHS and then use that really gritty footage because it just comes across as bad. It comes across as very unprofessional. But with something like that, I'm experimenting. I'm actually trying to make that project look in a certain way, whereas The Room is so authentic. I mean, the guy genuinely just made a bad film. And so because of his authenticity, it trumps my bad art just on the fact that it is genuinely bad art. The same thing can be applied to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. I don't know if you've heard about that one.
I haven't. That's a movie?
Oh, yeah, man. It's fantastic. It's about killer tomatoes, and they kill people. And it is just so obscure that something like that could be made. Now, this was made in 1970-something or 1980-something. But when it was released, everybody loved it because it was so bad. It was just unbelievably horrible that, you know, I mean, how can you not like something where tomatoes are rolling around killing people? It was horrible. So that kind of thing where it's so authentic, you know, the authenticity behind it is like, yeah, they weren't trying to make a bad film. In their mind, this was going to be a masterpiece. And in some way, it did become a masterpiece.
Yeah, they even made a movie on that movie like a year or two ago. I think James Franco was in it. And also, there's a movie on called Rubber on Netflix where a tire rolls around and it makes people's heads blow up.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Have you ever heard about Birdemic?
I haven't heard that one. What's that?
Oh, Birdemic is another gorgeously cruddy movie. It is just filled with so much cheese. It's about birds that it's kind of like The Birds by Hitchcock, but it's about birds trying to kill people, and it is so badly produced as far as the green screens, the animation. It is just horrible, and I would definitely recommend that to anybody who's listening. Go out, get yourself a copy of Birdemic. It's 100% gold.
Wow. Have you heard of any movie after National Treasure of Nicolas Cage?
I never watched those ones, actually, but I love Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay. Then, sorry to disrespect then. I know he's alone. No.
I love him because he's horrible.
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You know, he's something else. He's scary, like how much energy he has and how his, like, I mean, I've never watched a movie with Nicolas Cage and thought, like, he is such a good actor. Like, I am so drawn into this. I'm watching it because I'm like, he's Nicolas Cage. He is like a lunatic. It's fantastic.
Oh, 100%. So I'm going to bring it back. When you make ugly art, is it for comedic purposes or is there some intrinsic value to it?
There is always humor involved. I think humor is an absolute necessity of life, and I find it very hard not to be satirical or make ironic humor or kind of dry humor. That'll always be a thing in my artwork, but it's not necessary. It's not completely necessary all the time. It's just something that I feel like helps draw in the audience. You know, laughter is, or even just humor is something that is so potent in everybody's, you know, and it's so subjective. You know, if you wake up and you say, well, I don't find this funny, that's fine. But for me, you know, make it as silly as possible while also maintaining your original purpose. You know, I recently I've been doing a lot of political stuff, and I think that works perfectly with humor, because political, you know, social problems, they can be summed up in such a silly way. You know, if you look at them from a outsider point of view, you can say, well, that is just so stupid. How can I make fun of that? So yes, always humorous.
I could see that. Even in America, we had the debates yesterday, and well, when this airs, probably a week and a half ago. And yeah, no matter whose side you're on, everybody just, it was a mess, to say the least. Everybody's just making fun of it.
Yeah, exactly. And you can look at that and you can say, this is so stupid. Like, why are we here? What's the point of this? So make fun of it. You know, I think people need to make fun of themselves as well. If you wake up in the morning and you can't say, you know, oh, well, I'm this and I'm that, and this is my label, and that's why I'm funny, then, you know, you've missed out on something.
Hmm. And I saw some of your videos and some of your pictures definitely have the comedic tone to it. But what about ones like some of the pictures where is there some seriousness to, again, the woman with the red dress and half of her face is sort of turning into montage, or the woman in a white dress and there's a camera on her? It appears to be, it's a small picture from my laptop.
Okay. Yes. I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. I think the artwork you're referring to is like, you aren't what grandmothers are made of, Wolf, or something like that. That might be it.
I think that was it. And there's other ones too. Like there's half a face where it's a red and there's like a green line, sort of stuff like that.
Hmm. Yeah. Some of them are less humorous, but I mean, when I do them, and when I create the artwork, there's always a side to me that's like trying to find the humor in it, even if it doesn't come across by the end of it, or it's trying to be just obscure or very explosive with color. I can always find a humor. Now, one of the things that I was doing for a long time, and even if it doesn't make anybody else laugh, it makes me laugh. A lot of those collage-y kind of artworks with the woman's face exploding into the collage are made actually from porno magazines. Now, old 1980s porno magazines. I went to a garage sale, and this woman, she had just a stack of porno magazines from the 80s. And I went up there and I said, how much do you want for all these horrible magazines? And she was like, oh, you can have them, 50 cents for the lot. And since then, that was what, 2015, I did that. And since then, I have just been snipping these things up, going through these horrible articles that are just so, you know, absolutely explosive with opinions and depravity and also hypersexuality, and I've been snipping them up. So even if you can't see the humor of an artwork, there's a good chance that behind the scenes, I was, you know, looking through all these smut magazines and being like, oh, that is gold, and how can I put that in the artwork? You know, so for me, that makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's funny. It's definitely like one of those Easter eggs in a movie or something. Like, oh, look at this. It's so poetic. Oh, yeah, you know those pictures? Yeah, they come from this background.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, yeah. Makes me laugh. Somebody might see it as, you know, again, traditional art and be like, oh, wow, what can I see into that? It's like, it was made from.
Nice. I like that. That's funny. I think I'm running out of topics and questions. Is there anything in the art community you want to touch up on?
Well, I would like to go back to censorship and how censorship has really made a big impact on people's lives in the art community. I think it scares people. And if it scares people, it's not a good thing. Now, obviously, people have to be censor themselves sometimes, or censor their kids, depending on what your moral or religious background is. I do think that completely stifling people's opinions, especially when their opinions are meant to be creative. You know, recently I was, I'm making an album currently, which is a classical orchestral jazz album. And now the idea behind this album is it's called Window Peep. And Window Peep is about a little character named Window Peep who walks around and peeps in people's windows. And so this album is, majority of it is instrumental work. And now I wanted to create like a modern classical album with a R-rated undertone. I thought that would be really nifty. I haven't seen that before. I haven't heard it before. And so I got a bunch of violinists together. I got some cellos together. And they're all recording the actual music. Now, one of the people who I'm not going to name who they were, but they said they don't want to be part of my album because they feel like it has sexist undertones, which I had made very clear that the idea behind this album is meant to be arty. It's meant to be satirical. It's meant to be ironic. It's meant to be kind of venomous, but it is all meant to be silly. There's a lot of humor in this. I can't imagine somebody making an album like this and saying, oh, this is very serious. This is all serious music. However, this person had come to the conclusion that it was obscene and it was actually forwarding a unhealthy agenda, which I'm happy that they spoke up because, again, that's their moral choice. And I would rather them be comfortable with a project completely than force themselves. But it came into that kind of censorship role where they were so completely against the idea that they weren't going to have it. And I think those ideas are forwarded by mass media censorship. And again, going back to how television, how Instagram, how the world has progressed into making sure that the only profanity or obscene imagery that you can use is the one that is trendy or it's certified by somebody who made it in a lab. So with that in mind, I don't think censorship should be as prominent as it is right now. And hopefully it doesn't, hopefully more people speak out against it. You know, we need to have more freedom in the creative fields.
Were you able to get around and have another person take his position, or was the project then canceled?
No. She was one person out of quite a few who had volunteered to record their musical instrument. So, you know, it would have been nice to have their input because I think the more the merrier. You know, if you want to play an instrument on this album, go for it. You know, I think that would be lovely. The fact that she pulled out, that's fine. It just, you know, one slightly more empty area. You know, it shouldn't make any difference, honestly. But, you know, with that in mind, hey, would have been nice. More the merrier.
Any other projects any other interesting projects you've worked on or any other cool stories you found in the art community?
Well, I worked on a community magazine last year. No, actually, it went on for about 2 years. It was called This Is Life Now magazine. And This Is Life Now was meant to be a combination of all these artists I've met over the years. And that was probably the most interesting thing I've ever been part of or put together as far as a community project, because there were so many ideas and I got to meet so many artists and figure out what drives them. You know, the whole idea was they submit a page or a couple of pages to be published in this hard copy book. And, going into this, I'd never really collaborated with anybody. I'd never really talked to them and, you know, created these kind of projects. So when I went into it, I soon realized that every kind of artist has their own stereotype. And I've never seen that. I'm probably a stereotype myself. I'm probably the angry, sad artist. But every artist, every musician has this wonderful stereotype which they live up to. Some of them are overly pedantic about details. Some of them are really aggressive when it comes to how they want their page to be. You know, it has to be like this. You can't skimp out. You know, I want to see it exactly the way I envision it. Some of them are very lazy and they're the ones that piss me off the most because you have to follow up and have to say, hey, come on guys. Everybody's got their own thing. Some of them take it too seriously and don't understand what a joke is, you know? And so that was incredibly interesting to find out all the different personalities who build the art community. What personality are you?
If I was an artist, I'd be you're an ugly artist. I'd just be a bad artist.
Okay. Well, we can get together. We can vibe on that. Come on.
I'll just draw some stick figures. Hell, I'll be the robot with the gun thing before.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We need to get that into an art gallery. I mean, that's what art galleries need. More violent robots.
I saw a YouTuber who he got like a paparazzi around him, and he made everybody think he was this big name, and then he put artwork out, and people actually were like spending big money, or like not big money, but people were like actually going into the artwork saying, "Oh, this is profound." So I'll just hype me up, make me look like I'm the next big thing, and boom.
Absolutely. Everybody, see, that's something that's been lost in this world is the publicity stunt. You know, way back in the 70s, everybody lived on publicity stunts. I mean, that's how most celebrities were born. You just stage some sort of horrible event and people just, you know, lap it up.
You know who Steve-O is?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Yeah, he, you know of how he stood on top of the crane or on top of a skyscraper to protest?
What is it, veganism or something?
I think SeaWorld was that one.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was a big one. And apparently nowadays, if you do that, you'll actually get like arrested for years.
Oh, but I assumed I thought he was going to. I mean, like the whole thing was so extreme and so dangerous. I mean, I'm all for it. Again, you know, if he wants to go out and do that, then good on him. He had something to say, but yeah, dangerous and gutsy.
Oh, definitely. I would never go up there. I don't do good with heights. Screw, avoid that.
Not good.
Okay, so I guess I'm about time to wrap it up. If there's any final message for the audience, any final thing you want to say, anything to touch up on?
I will tell the audience that they need to be more ugly, deny your trends, burn your television, grow your hair out, grow your mustache, grow your eyebrows out, be more ugly, disagree with the trend, disagree with the trend. See how hypnotic that is?
Yeah, soothing. Like the minimalist art for my ear.
Yeah, exactly. ASMR. I'm all about that ASMR life, you know?
Sounds good.
That was my message.
Yeah. All right, everybody, go against the trend. Don't be the people on Instagram where it's all photoshopped. We're all people.
Yes.
All right. Well, again, this is the Way Podcast, FM 91.7, WHS Stores at the top of the hour. For more, go to podcasttheway.com. And if you'd like to see more from Adam, be sure to go to Easy Sleaze. Well, I'll let you say the websites.
Please go to easysleaze.com.au or my personal website, lonelyaroma.com. I definitely need the support. I'm very sad.
Sounds good. Be sure to check that out. And for this new outro, be sure to check out a good band on Instagram, Ruin Life 2.0. Thank you for the outro. And again, big thank you for Adam for coming out to the show. And deuces.
Thank you.